My dear brother bishops, my dear brother priests and deacons, fellow religious, seminarians, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, dear catechumens and candidates for admission to the church at Easter. We have a visiting bishop with us this morning from India, from the Cyril-Melanchthon Rite, Bishop Joshua, I can't pronounce his last name, Bishop, I'm sorry, but he is from the Diocese of Malaykara in India, and we're very, very happy to have you here, Bishop. So welcome the good bishop who's with us today. Bishop, no one pronounces my name correctly either, so I understand that. My dear brothers and sisters, not long ago I was visiting with one of the donors of the Archdiocese over lunch, and in the course of that conversation, this beautiful woman asked me a favor, and the favor she asked was that at the end of the Chrism Mass, the priests are allowed to walk out in procession. Now, the reason she asked me this is because in order to save time, we thought we were doing everybody a favor. Sometimes we've eliminated the procession at the end of Mass because when you have a crowd like this of so many priests, it takes a very, very long time. But this woman, who I think voices really the sentiment of the people of the Archdiocesan Church, asked us to make sure we change that practice, especially on the feast of the Chrism Mass, because it's an occasion for the people of the Archdiocese to fervently express their affection for those who serve the church as priests. So we'll be doing that today. And of course, that's a lesson to all of you that if you just have dinner with the bishop, he'll do anything you ask. what she asked was a very, very significant thing. You know, today the church is celebrating all kinds of things, but one of the most important things we do today is the renewal of priestly promises on the part of all of us who serve the church as priests. In the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, at the current time, we have 334 active diocesan priests. We have 158 retired archdiocesan priests. And we also have very large numbers, perhaps similar numbers, of priests from religious orders, from the Augustinians, the Vincentians, the Jesuits, the Oblates of St. Francis de Sales, the Capuchins, and many, many other communities. So we're very, very grateful to have all of these religious priests serving alongside the archdiocesan priests in the service of God's people. So please thank God with me for the gift of priests in our church's life, and do all you can to love and to support them. Most of us are not married, and that's kind of a strange thing to say, but there's at least one married priest in our community today who is with the personal ordinariate of, what is it? Chair of St. Peter, which is the group that follows the Anglican usage, and their priests, many of their priests are married. And also, I think we have at least one of our diocesan priests who is married, whose wife died before he was ordained. The reason I mention marriage and family is, you know, you, laity, are for most of us our family. And so we very much depend on you for support and for love and for care and even for correction. So I think it's very important for those of us who are priests and those of you who are served by priests to see that we are members of the same family. And so our celebration today is not just a celebration of priests, it's a celebration of the family of the church. The Chrism Mass, which we celebrate today, is described as a manifestation of the unity among priests, between priests and their bishops. And that is indeed the case. That's why we have this celebration on the day when Jesus established the Eucharist and tradition says he ordained the first priests. But the Mass we celebrate today also manifests the unity of the clergy of the church with the laity and with the consecrated religious. We are bound together through the waters of baptism, but we also are bound together through the oils blessed and consecrated in this Mass. Now, this is the Mass of the blessing of the oils. And the Bible frequently references olive oil. In the Bible, it was used for making bread and for cooking. It was used for lamps and as a healing agent. It was used as a means of beautifying the body and also preparing bodies for burial. But anointing, marking with oil, also has a spiritual, biblical significance. It indicated the favor of God and His strengthening. It signified receiving a special vocation. It marked and set apart those who God chose and sent for His purposes. And it also indicated, in the most significant way, the Messiah, God's chosen one. The word Messiah means the one who was anointed with oil. And so at this Mass, we bless oils used in the sacramental life of the Church. The sacraments are encounters with Christ, the Anointed One. We bless the oil of the catechumens, used in preparation for baptism, which symbolizes our need for help and strength from God to overcome the works and empty promises of the devil. We bless the oil of the infirm, the oil of the sick, used to mark the hands and foreheads of the sick and elderly as a healing agent of the presence of Christ, the divine physician. And finally, and most importantly, we bless sacred chrism, which is a mixture of olive oil and perfumed resin, an aromatic resin called balsam, which symbolizes the sanctification and consecration of the sacramental encounters of baptism, confirmation, and the ordination of priests and bishops. During the blessing, the bishop breathes on the oil, which is a symbol of the presence and life-giving energy of the Holy Spirit, who comes to us through the sacraments. And all of us then, whether we're bishops or priests or deacons or religious or lay faithful, are all united through the sacraments of the anointing. And we are united not just with one another, but with Jesus the Messiah. Pope Francis has famously spoken of the unity between the clergy and the laity when telling us that the shepherds of the church, the priests and bishops, ought to have the smell of their sheep. I spoke about that a couple of years ago. And when I did that, a friend of mine from Denver, where I used to serve as bishop, wrote me after hearing the homily. And this is what she said. "I liked very much your homily, but admittedly cringed a bit as sheep got another bad name for their smell. You see, I grew up on a farm, and sheep are still a great love of mine. I was involved in a lot of care for them, especially at lambing time. I missed a prom or two over lambing time with no regrets. I had some extraordinary sheep in that herd that pulled off what I considered more than small miracles. If you can get one sheep to follow you, it will influence the whole herd. We had one barren ewe. Each year, because she did not bear lambs, my brother would put her in the pen for sheep to be sold. But each night I'd sneak down and move her out of that pen. She was the primary leader who would follow me and move the whole herd from one pasture or corral to another area unfamiliar to them. My final thought is this. I figure if Christ could carry sheep about and not worry about the smell or ticks, I wouldn't either. An animal will smell only as good as the master who cares for him and provides for him. That was a letter from my friend in Denver. My dear brother shepherds, dear brother priests, there are many homily points in her letter to me that I would like to share with you this morning. We too, those of us who serve as shepherds of the church, have lots of extraordinary sheep in our herds that pull off more than small miracles, as she said. And it's very important for us as their shepherds, as their pastors, to notice them and to appreciate them. You know, today is a day when the people of the Archdiocese want to notice you and show their appreciation for you. And that, you know how important that is to us. It's also important to them that we show our appreciation and gratitude. We know from the teachings of the Church that the laity, those of us, those who share with us the sacrament of baptism and confirmation, are co-responsible for the gospel of the Church. And it's very important for us to acknowledge their contributions. So love and support the laity of the Church. Point number two. My friend spoke about a lamb that was barren, that her brother wanted to put away and sell because she wasn't producing lambs, wasn't producing other sheep. But she would save that lamb and found out that that lamb was one of the most important members of the flock. My dear brother priest, there are some members of our faith community who we know to be barren, who are problematic sometimes in the way they live the Christian life in our parishes. But we should never give up on them. You know, this story about this lady in Denver has a good point for us to learn, and that's that sometimes the barren members of the community end up being the best leaders. So we need to do all we can to keep people close to the Church, even if they seem problematic to us. You know, as Pope Francis so clearly teaches us, you know, the Church should be welcome and opening to everyone who has been baptized and everyone who Jesus calls to be part of our Church community. So we need to love and care for them. And who knows what miracles God will work in making them leaders of the Church. Point number three, she told me, if you can get one sheep to follow you, it will influence the whole herd. The lamb was the primary leader who would move the whole flock from one pastor to another, unfamiliar to them. You know, we're living in a time when the Church is going to be living in unfamiliar places. It's hard for us to predict the future, but we know the Church of the present is not the same Church that was present 10 years ago. Things have been changing. They've been changing very fast. And I think it's important for us to understand that lay people will sometimes take the lead even more than those of us who are pastors will in finding the new pastures for the Church in the future. We have to listen to them and give them appropriate leadership responsibility. And those of us who are leaders have to recognize that one of the ways of truly leading is recognizing the leadership of others, the skills and talents of others, and sometimes following them in places we haven't decided to go on our own for ourselves. The fourth and final point from her letter to me is this. She said, an animal will smell only as good as a master who cares for them and provides for them. You know, we don't have good, faithful laity without good and faithful priests. And we're interdependent, one on the other, but nonetheless, those of us who serve the Church as priests have a unique place and role in the life of the church. We have a responsibility to both care for the faithful, that means to love them in their difficult moments and in their moments of joy. We also have a responsibility to provide for them, which means to teach them. The role of the pastor is never a passive role where we just sit and respond to the needs of the faithful. It's important for us to show an energetic evangelical spirit in the way we both love and the way we both nourish and feed the people of our parishes through our preaching and our teaching. And if we do that, if we have apostolic zeal and a commitment to holiness, the faithful of our parishes, the sheep of the flock, will smell just as good as the pastors and the shepherds. But if we don't, we only have ourselves to blame for the lack of energy and enthusiasm in the lives of the faithful of our parishes. And so as we gather today around the blessing of the oils, our unity in Jesus Christ, symbolized by the sacramental oils of the church, we celebrate the priesthood, we celebrate the relationship of the laity with the ordained members of our archdiocesan community. And we promise the Lord, as we renew our commitment, that we will be even more faithful in our service of the church in the year that lies ahead. We pray that the Lord will bring to completion the good things he begins in us once again today.